Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the time aberration to my time remnant, it's Dan.
Hey, my face was burned badly in some future thing, but I'm still here to record tonight.
Oh, and it didn't affect your voice at all, because, you know, why would someone being burned on their face affect the way they speak at all? But
yeah.
Fortunately, we have other people to help us speak, or when they bother to get a word in edgewise. So maybe we should just introduce them so we can get on with this. Yeah, that's what I'm doing there. So joining us tonight, our very own She-Ra from Chi-Town. It's Vicky.
Hi.
And of course, if we got her, then we got the He-Man from the Swamplands. It's Cade.
Hello, everybody.
And finally, our own little Orko from Kentucky. It's Jason.
The He-Man from the Swamp Things actually made me funny. Made me laugh there. That was pretty funny.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I didn't even think I was funny. So we're going to try to do a lot more and a lot less time tonight. I swear by the power of Grayskull here. And I don't know why I'm making all these He-Man references, because I've never seen one He-Man cartoon or movie ever in my entire life. So it's just...
Yeah, at this point, I'm assuming there must be a He-Man arc on the Arrow episodes I haven't watched.
Well, technically, someone does show up in one of the Arrow episodes who, unless I'm mistaken, didn't Dolph Lundgren play He-Man in a movie?
Yes, he did. So, he was He-Man.
So there is the connection. That's excellent. So, in one case, two of us, are going to try to cover at least five different episodes of television, hopefully in less time than it typically takes us to do just three. That's kind of my decree going into this. So, as much as I'd like to spend several minutes talking about how I now think suddenly Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is now better than all the shows that we talk about on this podcast, and I don't take any pleasure admitting that right now, instead... we're going to start things off once again with the show that we've actually all had a chance to watch this week, and that would be The Flash. Now, the latest episode was titled Cause and Effect, so I'll give you a little micro-mini recap here. So after present and future Barry spend some quality time together, the team realizes that the reason Savitar is always a couple steps ahead is because... he's actually Adrian Chit. No, wait, wrong show, sorry. I mean, because he's a time remnant of a future Barry, he therefore would know anything that Barry does back in 2017. We're going to put aside that this seems to be a rule that is only occasionally adhered to in any of these TV shows on the CW, or anywhere else for that matter. But Cisco comes up with the idea to turn Barry into the lead character from Memento. Why they didn't make that movie reference, I'll never know. But... and I don't know how they could possibly make devices that freaking fast on this show, but whatever. Anyway, it pretty much wipes Barry's memories out entirely, so we get happy, goofy Barry, free from the burdens of his dead parents and his dumb decisions over the years. But a quirky thing happens beyond that. Savitar also loses his memory. Now again, putting aside that one can say it should have had a far different effect, whatever. Killer Frost shows up to assume her brainier duties as Caitlin, showing that there's still some humanity lurking behind those not-always-whited-out eyes. And lastly, meanwhile, HR is providing encouragement, support, and the promise of a future brown chicken brown cow with Tracy Brand as she works on the Speed Force bazooka that should trap Savitar years ahead of time. But it just turns out they're going to need some rather massive power source, which we get teased at the end is actually being guarded by King Shark? So there you have it. So, let's dive right in with, well, the big thing here was Barry meets Barry, and what we thought of how they handled that, how they explained that. I feel there might be a divergence of opinion here. I'm curious to hear it. Who are we starting with? Are we starting with you, Jason? I feel like we're going to start with you.
Might as well. I thought the explanation for the time remnant was interesting. How there's just an infinite loop, as they called it. The actual execution of Barry meeting Barry, seen better, right? At least that's my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's hard to take the evil Barry seriously, I guess, because it just sounds like he's just acting not that great and shouting a lot. Like I said, that's my opinion.
Was he shouting? I thought he was speaking in a lower voice. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, but I get exactly what you mean. It comes
across as him trying to affect his delivery and delivering his lines. And,
yes, I agree.
It's very telltale. That's what he's doing.
It's not done in a plausible way, which like, for example, we were joking earlier when Dan was joking about the whole being burned or whatever. It actually would have been more interesting if Marv's face had been burned and to the extent where it would have affected how he spoke. And yes, and when he has Savitar, it does a different voice. Who cares? It doesn't matter. But that might have been more interesting than this obviously affected way of speaking, which I agree. I wasn't buying that any more than I was buying the wig on 2024 Barry. So I won't disagree with that. I think we might actually, me and you might be on the same page at least. I like the explanation, the execution. It's sad when the only thing that makes the execution good is, well, it's still better than revealing Zoom, which goes like, yeah, that's not really saying much. Who was going to be next? Was it going to be Vicky? I feel like it was going to be Vicky. Vicky? Yeah, we're going to go you anyway. I don't care if that was one.
I kind of like the Barry versus Barry stuff. I thought it was pretty interesting. The explanation, it made sense once they got kind of to explaining it, but for a moment there, I was like, wait, what?
Which is par for the course on this show, anyway.
Pretty much.
I'll say this, though. There's something I don't think we should lose sight of in the explanation, which to a certain degree redeems certain things about this show in the sense of things that happened and were never really explained and we thought, oh, are they just going to forget about that? Like they go all the way back to like even season one when he sees the other version of himself, and there's certain confusing elements that have gone on over and over since late season one. I think that really all culminates here. And I think they actually did a decent job of kind of like touching on all those things and where and what happens to these so-called time remnants, whatever. Of course, he's supposed to be a time remnant that was conjured up by a later Flash when I think, right? Isn't that what they...
Right.
Yeah. Basically, he was one of these time remnants that Barry created to try and defeat Savitar. The closed loop.
Yeah, then that's one of those things, because it's interesting how they keep shifting how they explain time on this show, and which is their prerogative, of course, because now they're going with the Looper movie concept, yeah. You know, which is fine, you know, because as Sisko kind of illustrates, it does put things in a neat loop. Again, my frustration tends to be that you guys still play fast and loose with rules that you seem to make up after the fact, which I'm not going to go on any tirade about it this time. It just bothers me when it's about a show that has clearly relied so much on the idea of time travel as this show has. You know, I mean, it's bad enough on Legends of Tomorrow where it also doesn't make any sense, but I don't look at Legends of Tomorrow quite the same way as I do The Flash. So it's like I don't take it quite as seriously, if that makes any sense. You know, it's more just goofy, bonkers fun. Flash should have a bit more gravitas to it, not that it tends to very often. So it bothers me more on this show. Anyway,
speaking of Legends, you notice how they close the loop on one of their plot holes.
Oh, I thought that was great that they put that in there. They made the comment about the future, because again, I was trying to figure that out. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot all about that. That never did make any sense. So thanks for explaining something on a season of a show that's already over, but whatever. You know, it's still good that they did that, you know, because they're all connected.
Doesn't it seem like they're gonna go away from time travel?
Yes.
For a while.
Yes, I got a strong suspicion that although the show is still, you know, in many quarters still doing well, its ratings aren't, it's not like it's fallen off the map or anything like that. I get the sense they're going to do something that's a reboot, not re-Yellow Boots, of course, but still a reboot of the show next season, where we're going to get away from a lot of the things that have kind of bogged down the last couple seasons of the show. At least that's my hope. Plus, if you've got Legends of Tomorrow doing all the time stuff, then you don't really need to be doing that on The Flash.
Right. We need to get back to a more back-to-basics approach to the show.
Yeah, no more freaking speedster villains. No more speedster. the only thing I'm okay with, you do as much alternate Earth stuff as you want. That would be, that's great. Because that's where you can kind of go crazy here. And they've already made it clear that there's endless multiple Earths. So you can have doppelgangers or you know, you can make up for shitty villains you had on this planet with a cool version on another planet, you know, so we can keep our hopes for Shade and Mirror Master alive, you know, that we can still see a better version of it at some point. We probably won't, but at least we can hope so.
I like how this is morphing into what we'd like to see for next year discussion.
Yeah, we kind of went from what was going to be the end of the conversation at the beginning of, who cares if it's a fun conversation? Everybody loves it.
Yeah, well, I tell you what I want to see. I want to see more rogues.
Yes, I think.
Because we haven't seen Weather Wizard this year. The only trickster we got was on the alternate Earth.
Oh my God, you're right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So let's circle back because Daniel is here, and I think he probably had a plethora of issues with future stupid Barry as well. So, Dan, what was your take on how they handled it, good and or likely bad?
No, I thought the teaser was great. I thought they executed it really well. I thought his like hair was fine, his makeup was good, his acting was solid. I enjoyed this explanation, and I liked the, you know, the kind of craziness of the little fight that they had there. So I thought that was very well done. It's about the only thing I liked in the whole episode, actually.
So. Oh, okay, I gotcha. Right. You didn't like what eventually happens, which is probably what we're going to move into right now. So why don't we just start talking about right now.
Yeah.
The whole idea that when they do the mind wipe, that they essentially erase Barry's memory, you know, to whatever degree, and then that becomes the huge obstacle for the rest of the episode. Yeah, I'm curious to see how different people felt about that, because I got a feeling that we're going to have a range of opinions on that. So what were you saying about that?
Oh, it's just awful. It's terrible. they tried to make it, and it was a stupid plan. They tried to make it funny at like the worst time in the season, so like things should be like hectic and stressful right now, but they just like kind of try to make it funny, and it's just horrible timing, goofy, not great at all. I mean, it was terrible. So bad.
Okay.
Okay. Really dumb plan.
I might agree with you that this was the worst time to do an episode like this. I can understand why they did it now. As dark as it's been, it's going to get much darker, so I thought they maybe took this chance to give you a moment of levity, so when it gets real dark, you're not just embraced, dude, they're just not muddling the show in complete darkness. Because it's going to get very heavy in the next two episodes. So while, yeah, this could have been a better earlier season, I do understand why it got placed here. It was a moment of like everything goes pitch black for the show, as it were. Because someone is going to die, and if it is Iris, then that's a very heavy thing to happen. That, I think, is why this episode got placed in the where it did. Now, whether it works, that's a different story, but I do understand why it got placed here.
I think that this reminds you that, hey, remember this show used to be fun? Because this season has been really dark, and there hasn't been a whole lot of fun moments to be had so far. So, I personally like the change of pace.
Vix?
I also enjoyed the change of pace. Just the part with the trial and everything really annoyed me.
The trial. Got it.
Because you knew that, they're like, don't get it wet, so you know it's going to short out and stuff. And so, yeah.
Yeah, my only problem with the trial thing is that I was wondering, why not just have Julian testify, as an expert witness, since you know, he knows all this stuff anyway. And it doesn't matter that he wasn't on the case. They could have come under an excuse that he was unable to be there, so someone else representing that department would speak on behalf of it. I mean, I guess the issue would have been he wasn't the one who actually handled the evidence or something. But he could have explained Barry's findings. I've seen that happen, you know, and I've watched court TV in my lifetime. So it was kind of a goofy thing that didn't need to be. I don't mind that they did it. I was just like, yeah, but there's an easy way around this. So it wasn't really much of an obstacle. I would say that it didn't bother me as far as them going out of left field and having an episode that had a lot more lightness or levity to it than I would have expected at this time. Not because whether or not I feel the next two are going to be especially dark or not. I don't know. Considering who I see showing up in the next episode and they're fighting King Shark, next week looks like it's going to be fucking fun rather than dark, as far as I can tell. Because I feel I can think of any number of shows that kind of, you know, even late in the season, suddenly took a left turn and gave us an episode that was like, wait, what? And again, those tend to be polarizing episodes because people are either on board and they like them, or they suck, the episode, and they don't like them. And for me, I'm not going to say I loved it, but I liked it for reasons beyond the light Barry stuff. I'll give you one right now. Iris. Because Iris was nothing more than a why is she even there plot device in the last episode or two. And I thought Iris really took center stage in this episode, and I thought we got a lot with her. I think she really proved why she's on the show. I like the flashback, her talking about, you know, them taking Barry in as a child and all that. There's a little weird moment of these two, you know, knowing that she loved him when she was a little kid, but you know what? Fine. I'm not gonna hit that nail anymore. Maybe I should decide.
That was only slightly creepy.
Yeah.
No, it was really lame. I mean, I have kids that are like, you know, like that age or like, you know, slightly older. They're definitely not falling in love for the fucking first time and knowing it back. Well, you know,
but what they're doing is they're taking it, but they're using a fairy tale explanation. That's why I'm not going to give them grief for it. So it's basically like the kind of thing that you hear in fairy tales where someone who's clearly far too young to even understand or know those things. I mean, and plus she's also saying it now, saying that's when she knew. That doesn't mean it's, you know, accurate or whatever, because she certainly didn't do anything or act on it for the next 20 something years and pretty much was dating and banging everyone else probably in Central City. Sorry, Vicky. But I enjoyed it, and I thought they did some really nice work, especially as we got later in the episode. But it was more unexpected goofiness in an episode than I would have thought at this point. But my thing is, if you're entertaining me, then I'm fine with it. And I felt I was kind of entertained. It was interesting to see how Barry was without being a freaking downer or, you know, weepy. The way
that was nice.
And now he's back to being, you know, a downer again, I guess. Anyone else want to weigh in about this? I feel like there's more to say about it, or we can move on to something else. Something else in the episode, I mean. I'm not talking about another show.
Well, it was good to see. It was good to see them acting, the science crew acting like idiots again. with the whole mind erase thing. Of course, it's not working out. I know you guys talked about it earlier, but It was another nice thing, just a flashback to the season one.
Well, it's also getting everybody involved. It's seeing Team Flash, you know, doing whatever they're doing, you know, good or bad. I don't know how Cisco's able to create an entire mind wiping device, you know, like that. But again, we let these things go because that's just what he's able to do. Apparently, I don't know why he's not a billionaire if he's able to pull off shit like that. Tony Stark couldn't pull off shit like this. Speaking of Cisco, so why don't we dive into the stuff with Killer Frost, Cisco, and Julian here? Because that, for me, that was one of the more unexpected turns in the episode, that Killer Frost would show up and kind of, you know, pretty much put on a lab. She didn't actually put on a lab coat, but she might as well have, which kind of would have been cool if she had done that, actually. So, What do we think of that? That was an interesting turn, because I think it's the first time that we really got more insight that even though she's Killer Frost, there's still some humanity in her. So, Vicky, I know you like talking about Killer Frost and Caitlin, because, you know, they usually, you know, how bad Caitlin's been over the last couple of years. So how do you think they handled that? And were you pleased with it? You think they could have done better? What'd you think?
I really enjoyed it. Because, you know, like you were saying, they did try to show her that, you know, Caitlin isn't this third person. She still is Caitlin. She still has that inside of her. And, you know, we saw that brief flash of her eyes kind of like unicing or whatever for the brief second in the elevator after she pushed them away.
Right. That was a really nice moment in the episode, I would agree, when she kind of blows them all off that way. And I didn't... I should really watch the way I phrase things on this podcast. But you know what I mean? The whole I don't love any of you, that whole thing was kind of neat. And then we sit in the eyes. I thought that was one of the better moments on the episode, quite frankly. But it's also, it's cool because, no pun intended, once again, but it means that whether or not they are able to turn her back into Caitlin or not, because that's still, we don't know if they probably will, but we don't know it for a fact. But it makes Killer Frost, who's already been kind of, you know, wow, she looks great, and she's got in the ice bridge thing from the other episode was all awesome. But if they give that character that much more depth, that there's still something struggling inside her that she's dealing with, you know, suppressing. It's kind of like Caitlin trying to suppress the Killer Frost nature. Now it's like Killer Frost is trying to suppress the Caitlin nature, maybe. That makes her a much more interesting character and an interesting villain, and something more to her. And that's, again, that would be one of the things I really liked about this episode. Vicky.
I completely agree.
I love everyone's like, I don't know if I should say anything, though.
I agree with Vicky and with you, Scott. I think it's a really nice looking costume. So Vicky, if you make yourself a Killer Frost costume, that plus some Chicago popcorn, it might make me seducible. Just so you know.
No, I have other friends who already do Killer Frost.
Okay, well, give them my address and let them know how much popcorn I want, which is all of it, and I'll see what I can do for them.
Particularly Chicago mix.
I might be up for some HR, Tracy, whatever, boning down action. But I do like what they're doing with, you know, Caitlin here, and they're humanizing a little bit. I do worry that this just means, like, they're going to end up, she's going to die. I don't really see them reverting her back to Caitlin again, and I don't really see Killer Frost being a good guy, so I suspect that there's a chance that, like, we'll see, like, you know, she'll, like, you know, become somewhat good, get killed, and then, like, you know, turn back to less frosty and die. I could see them doing that, which would be regrettable, but I don't think they know what to do with the character after this point. Wait. So I think that's what they're going to do.
Oh, my God. They're going to kill Caitlin and Joe West? Oh, my God. This show is so horrible. Wow, they're going to kill everybody on the show.
I don't think they kill Caitlin. I think they finally figured out what to do with her. And they, hopefully they've learned to listen. Keeping rogues around is a good idea. So having her be a recurring thorn in their side, and maybe not like straight up villain trying to destroy them all, but just a problem that keeps occurring would be good, because that's, they finally figured out how to write something for her, because the actress isn't terrible. She was just been giving terrible stuff, because the minute they give her something to work with, she's really good. She's one of the best parts. I've enjoyed seeing Killer Frost these past few episodes. So I would hope they have sense not to kill her. I don't think they will. I think they're going to keep her around. Very probable she'll stay Killer Frost.
But if they do keep her around, do you really want to see every time she shows up, they spend half the episode trying to convince her that, like, you love us, we're family, turn back to,
she's icy,
you know,
cold
Ginger.
To them, doesn't let them do it, sure.
Yeah, but do you want to see them do that every single time she shows up forever? Because it's going to get as redundant as every time they do anything like that in the show.
Yeah, and I've got used to every other thing they do like that in the show. So I would get used to it because there's something I like in the episode.
Yeah, I'm on the fence with what Dan is saying, because on one hand, I totally can see that point and I can agree with it. But on the other hand, especially when we're talking about a comic book show, I mean, so many comic book interactions over less are tend to be like the same thing over and over, redundant, whatever. And you know, where you know, like every other Hulk story for like about 15 years was the fucking same story over and over again. But yeah, it's a tough one. I believe they're just going to spin her off of Black Siren into their own show. So it's
I'm fine with that.
Birds of Prey Part 2.
Yeah.
You should go on the Legends show.
Oh, with the fucking Legends show.
Or Gotham Sirens or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the Gotham Sirens. Anyway. All right. So, since you mentioned the HR Tracy stuff, it was weird. I shouldn't have liked any of that, but I think because I like both actors, and I think they were just, again, I know it's a goofy light thing in the episode, I kind of oddly like that. I feel weird saying that. Did anyone else like that crap, or is it just me?
No.
I knew you didn't, Vicky.
I liked it for the one reason it doesn't seem as forced as the other relationships they've tried to do. And because they've shown HR as a weirdo, so I don't think he's being, like, creepy. He's just being an oddball. He doesn't understand social interaction. So in his head, this isn't him being, he's not being creepy. He's just like, this is what's okay, because this is how I understand it.
Right. And she's also a socially awkward character that they've already established. So they're kind of, to a certain degree, they're almost peas in a pod. So it does make more sense than any number of other quote unquote love connections we've seen on any of these shows, quite frankly. You know,
I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah, this ain't Ray Palmer and Hawkgirl.
No. It's almost like she's locked down the basement.
Turns out to be his sole purpose for having HR. So he can.
Right.
Well, to be fair,
like,
at least
meet
it's
her
something.
And get married or whatever.
But that's probably it. Tom Cavanaugh had it in his contract. Look, you've got to give me a love interest at some point, or I'm leaving. Because I've got nothing else to do on the show right now.
These drumsticks that keep twirling.
Other than the ending, is there anything else we wanted to cover in this episode? Because I know we haven't, other than my recap, we haven't mentioned the ending yet.
King Shark stuff or the last battle sequence?
Are we supposed to know what that thing King Shark is like guarding is?
Who cares? King Shark's coming.
Okay. I saw it and I'm like, what did I forget? But good. No one else remembers. That means I'm okay.
No, you're not supposed to know what it is. You know when you're going to find out what it is? Next week.
I do have one question that I want them to answer. It's now the question that if I don't get an answer for, I'm going to be a little annoyed.
Uh-oh.
If your question is that an Infinity Stone? Then yes, it probably is.
Yeah.
I want to know who built the Savitar suit. That's a big thing that really needs to be answered. That can't just be, oh, he found it. I want to know who built that thing.
I'm assuming evil Sisko. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say evil Sisko.
a Sisko time remnant, yes.
A Sisko time remnant, exactly.
Sisko time remnant.
I'm also waiting to hear the explanation for King Shark being there, because last we heard he had been taken prisoner, or whatever the phrase is, by Argus. So
yeah.
he clearly got free and no one let anybody know about that. But again,
that power source thing could be something that Argus had in their, like, you know, powerful weapons lockup.
Well,
yeah.
I'm assuming we're going to find out, you know, because all I know is that next week we've got King Shark and Captain Cold. And I love that now they've come up with a way, like, okay, so Captain Cold's alive and okay, cool. Thank you for getting rid of that whole crap that happened from Legends. That to me, that's money in the bank as far as next week is concerned. I'm already like,
oh, yeah.
I'm there. Like, okay, you got me. You know, and because it goes to what you were saying, Jason. Like, hey, you know what we got? We got a rogue. We got another villain who's kind of, depending how much screen time he has, can be kind of sort of cool with the whole shark. At least it's better looking than Sharknado effects that they did for him, whatever. So. And maybe Killer Frost will show up in the episode as well, because I thought that's why they were getting Captain Cold. They're going to have kind of like an ice face-off kind of a thing. And she can like show him, this is how I actually use ice powers, because every time you shoot your gun, it looks like you never freeze anything. But you know, kind of like,
except for Amaya in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, well, once, you know, finally.
Hey, before we finish up Flash and before I bail out, because I haven't watched any shows, since our format's a little bit less formal this week, since none of us have, like, or, you know, most of us haven't got through all the shows, I'm going to lay down my sweet speed weed moment from this week. And I think Vicky has one too, but I'm going to go first just because I want to make sure she doesn't steal it. we got this final action sequence. Barry doesn't know how to use his powers. Wally doesn't have powers. Heatmonger has started a building on fire, but nobody considers, like, hey, we have a metahuman with frost powers here. Maybe we could have her go put out the fire.
I think they might have asked, but I don't think she was going to willingly agree to go put out a fire.
Yeah, but they could have at least asked. I mean, she definitely, she needed Barry to get, like, better so she could get whatever she needs from Savitar to happen. So, like, she probably doesn't want Barry getting messed up. She could probably would have just volunteered.
That's a good point.
I mean, she has, you know, it's flame.
They could have asked, you're right. And she could have said no, but at least they could have put in the effort. Dopes. Yeah, I'll go along with that. That's not bad. I didn't even thought Vicky. Of that. Vicky.
Alright, yeah. So I'm gonna when Iris was like taking Barry to their apartment, he's like, is this our place? How do we afford to live here? And they don't answer it.
That's the joke. That's the joke. It's like, it's like it's every TV show. Characters live in places they couldn't possibly.
I know.
It's the Friends phenomenon. How do they afford an apartment like that?
You bring that up and then you don't even. Yeah.
That was the writers winking at, like, it's insane that they would have an apartment like that. Like, how's Kara paying for her apartment with no job for all that time? I don't understand that either on the other show. At least Ollie was rich at one time, although then he lost his money, so I'm not really sure if he still has any money. They never really explained it. Whatever. These people don't know what it's like to struggle. That's why. Since my speed read moment is from another show, I can't say anything here. So, anybody else have something they want to mock and flash before we get to the scores?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so at least for once we won't have some dead silence and we can get to the scores. So, Vicky, what grade would you give this episode of The Flash?
I will give it a 4.
And Kate, and hopefully this week we actually have the cool music in the background. Kate, what was your grade for this one?
I would give it a 4.
Jason?
Yes, it's a 4.
I'm looking forward to this one. Daniel?
I can't give it any higher than a 3. It probably would have been lower if it wasn't for me enjoying the HR Tracy stuff. So, but
more generous than I expected. I'll join the kids at the other table and I'll give it a 4 as well. So there you go. Okay, so are we bidding adieu to at least one or two people now? Dan, I know you're going to shove off, right?
Yeah, I'm going to roll out.
Okay, that way you can work on producing our Fargo Better Call Saul podcast, which was so awesome that we did just an hour ago. Or are you going to go?
I already did. It's already on the way.
Woohoo! Okay. Jason, are you going to stick around just to listen and maybe chime in from time to time, or are you bailing?
No, I'm bailing too.
All right, so we'll be talking all about Jason for the next half hour.
Woohoo! Awesome.
Yes.
Snooze fest coming, kids. Anyway.
Okay. Yes. Good night, everybody. Vicky, work on that. Popcorn / Killer Frost hookup you were setting me up with.
Yeah.
Well said.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
And this is where I say awkwardly, this is episode 181.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead of watching TV this week, I want to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 twice. Go see it.
Right. Oh, I'm going to hang up before you spoil me. Rip.
I'm not going to spoil anything other than say it was great.
All right. I'll see you next week. Shut up. Go away.
Right, good night.
Okay, bye.
Hang up now. Bye.
All right. I'm not sure if that's in the segment breakdown, if that's all going to be considered part of the Flash conversation or not. So people screwed up. All right. So now, at least... Which one am I doing next? Are we doing Arrow or Supergirl?
Arrow.
Okay, gotta reverse myself.
I mean, if you two want to do Supergirl, I'll just sit here and y'all do Supergirl, and then we can do Arrow last.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Most unprofessional podcast ever. All right, so let's start unpacking not one, but the last two episodes of, oh boy, Supergirl. So the last two episodes were Alex and City of Lost Children. So I'm going to call this my micro-mini recap time, you know, because it's, you know, making like a girly reference here. Anyway, so in the episode Alex, after Kara and Maggie get into the female version of a dick measuring contest in terms of who is truly the better crime fighter, Alex gets herself kidnapped by some guy they knew back in high school, who holds her prisoner until Supergirl frees his dad from prison. Meanwhile, Ma-Mel, a.k.a. Rhea, for those who have ignored my cracks about her, she's figuratively hooking up with Lena Luthor to collaborate on some amazing technology that will supposedly get Rhea home, as well as be a massive benefit to Earth. Yeah, right. So, in the next episode, The City of Lost Children, turns out something is screwing with these Plorian aliens that have migrated to Earth, setting these typically peaceful but powerful aliens off to do scads of mayhem. James Olsen, who is clearly no Batman, takes one kid under his wing in hopes of tracking down his mom, who was Chaos Central earlier on in the episode. Oh, and about that technology that Rhea and Lena were working on, turns out that's what's setting off these Plorians. But even after Rhea reveals her true plan and takes on Supergirl and John Jones, we see this is about yet another all-out invasion. From Daxam, I believe. So now I'm kind of wondering just how many of those people actually survived in the first place. Okay, so I believe it's just me and the Vix here. So won't be anybody stepping on you tonight, Vicky, other than me. So these were two pretty straightforward episodes, especially the first one. So if you can remember, Alex, the episode as well as the character, what was your take on that episode, and how did you feel about it overall?
I really liked how, you know, we got to see Maggie doing her job, being, you know, police, helping figure this out. But I found the, what was it, like, Rick or whatever his name, just kind of, his motivations just kind of lame. Like, I totally get it. Like, he want, but I don't know. It was, he just felt very milquetoast to me.
Interesting. So the actual villain, I guess, who the whole motivation was he wants to free his father from prison. And we hear he had a really bad life, and even though his father turned out to be, you know, ended up being like a murderer or something, to him he was the dad who kind of saved him. I guess maybe I'll very, very mildly disagree with you. I mean, milquetoast maybe in the way the guy looked, but I thought that was kind of a deliberate bit of casting there, that you're going to cast this very, you know, corn fed, you know, very, very, very tidy white kind of looking guy who's actually rather malevolent. Could they have done a little bit better with him? Maybe, but I actually kind of liked it. I always liked the actor who I forget what his name is right now, who plays his father, who's a character actor I've seen on a number of TV shows. I've always enjoyed that actor, so I thought they did some nice little casting there by having him in it. I think I just liked it because I liked the seemingly increasingly frustrating situation. And even though maybe if I really took the time to think about it, I could figure out a way that Supergirl should have been able to handle this. I like the fact that she was so easily stymied by someone who has no special abilities, who's not some super genius or whatever, but was still able to put one over on her. And I love the fact they finally, you know, get into the fact that there should be any number of people who would know who she is based on the stuff that they remember from childhood. Same goes for Superman, quite frankly. I always love when they actually had someone who figured it out. So I hats off to them for putting that in. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I will agree with you there. I think it was a good change of pace for them to have a, like, you know, kind of quote-unquote baddie of the week who was, like, a normal person and not an alien someone with superpowers.
I agree. It's just like if you're someone who reads Superman comics, which I haven't in years, but I remember them, yes, sometimes his villains are these intergalactic, you know, all-powerful creatures, monsters, aliens, whatever. But and sometimes they're, you know, super geniuses like Luthor. But I also like when he's just fighting says some regular guy, even though part of you says he's Superman, he should be able to take care of business, but for whatever reason he can't, so then he ends up having to fight someone like the Toy Man or the Prankster or characters like that. I wish they should do more of that on this show, because they have a more of a built-in excuse with Supergirl, because she hasn't been doing this as long, so she might not think to do certain things. You know, there is something I get a little confused with Kryptonians, and maybe it's just... it's something that writers just tend to go, yeah, we don't want to make them too godlike, I guess. I do believe that's why. Because Cade can even pipe in here if he wants, just on this one point, and then scurry away again. But my impression was always, like, when you have a character like a Superman, or in this case, like a Supergirl, they're supposed to be super smart as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Superman's stories always had him being just as smart as Lex was. That was why he was such a good foil for Clark, because he couldn't beat him hand-to-hand, but it was a challenge for his mind to make Superman outthink him at times.
Right. So I would therefore assume the same would apply to Supergirl then. You know, because, I mean, if for no other reason that the fact that their brain capacity, or maybe their ability to memorize, or whatever however you want to chalk it up. So I find it odd at times when she doesn't understand certain science things, but then I realize, oh, I think that's a deliberate choice, because otherwise, if you make it like she's too perfect at everything, then it is, and then she's just a god, and then you can't relate to her. So I guess that's why they do it that way. So I've already explained away why they do it, but sometimes I wish she was a little bit smarter. I do wish she was a little bit smarter. Her naivety is, it can be adorable, but every once in a while it becomes, yeah, you should be a little bit smarter. Because, you know, the way they used to always call Superman the big boy scout, it's like Supergirl's the big girl scout on this show at times. I liked it when they've done something where they give her just a little bit more of an edge, you know. She's never going to be a dark character, but she shouldn't be till blindingly naive at times as well.
Kind of like how it was a little interesting. What was it, last season? They had her, like, quote unquote evil.
Oh, well, that was one of the great episodes from last season. That was that might have been the best one, actually, or definitely one of the top three. That was a great episode. I'd rather watch that. That one was better than any episode from this season, that's for sure. But it was interesting because it was also a very streamlined episode. I mean, it's kind of funny because. It's not a bottle episode because we had a lot of action going on outside of it. But it's interesting that we had two shows in the same week where you had main characters that were trapped in a situation and people trying to free them. Because that also happened on a certain other show we're going to be talking about a little later in this podcast. So I did like Alex's ingenious way of using her pants. So
yeah,
I'd never thought about it. And I love that they gave us an explanation for that, that apparently she had some, I think they said she had some Navy SEAL training or something.
Or survival training. Yeah, that's actually I didn't know about that. Like, that's a survival like thing that you can do.
That's great. So if I ever fall off a boat, since I can't swim, I know that I need to take off my pants and try to use them as a life preserver. So thank you, Super.
Yeah, I did like how she was, She was so proactive. She wasn't, you know, this, you know, helpless, help me. She was dismantling the camera to hook it up so that she could get in contact with the CEO. She was, you know, like you said, with the pants and all of that.
Yeah,
so
it wouldn't have made sense for her to be otherwise, I thought.
Because
she's an active character, and she's, what do they call her? An agent? I guess she's an agent. I didn't know what the right terminology was. I keep forgetting that they're the DEO. I keep calling them the DOE. Like, the Department of Education. I can't believe how powerful they are. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about the episode? If not, we can just give it a score right now.
that's pretty much. I think I would give it a 4.5.
4.5. I'm probably going to give it a 4, which for Supergirl, that's pretty good. I don't think there's anything bad with 4 anyway. 4 out of 5, that's awesome. I wish my life was 4 out of 5. But I liked it. I liked the Alex and Maggie stuff, actually, which doesn't tend to be often the case on this show. And I actually bought into Maggie's issues with Supergirl. I believe that to be true, because she said some things which were like, that does make sense. That would happen, you know. And she kind of isn't mindful of whatever destruction she might cause when she's doing these things, or the fact that a lot of these crooks may end up actually getting, you know, free on technicalities because they were nabbed by some super vigilante as opposed to, you know, a traditional way of being caught by police and whatever. So it worked.
Yeah, I think that was a good kind of character element that they integrated.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's now switch over to this week's episode, which was City of Lost Children, which made me think of a movie of a similar same title, which is really good, but it's not that. I don't know. What did you think about that one? Because, I mean, obviously there's a lot more going on in this episode, but also how much of it did you actually care about or not? So I'll let you take center stage on this one before I say anything else.
Yeah, I think just character-wise, it wasn't quite as strong as the previous one. Like you said, there was kind of more going on and stuff, but it wasn't, you know, I wasn't super invested in it. I mean, probably the most interesting part of the episode for me was the Lena Rhea stuff. And yes. Even that was, you know, yeah.
I think I believe I agree. I think I didn't even start caring about what was going on in the episode until like the last 10-15 minutes. I think the last 10-15 minutes I got interested in, but the first 45 I was like, eh. I mean, it's not awful, but it became like almost like a background show. Like I could have been just playing Words with Friends during the first 45 minutes and not cared. I mean, and it's just because you have this subplot or main plot, I can't even tell anymore sometimes with this show, with James Olsen, you know. Well, actually, maybe I'll say it right now, since we're talking about it. What would have been my, you know, speed weed, hands off moment of the week is from this episode. Because my problem was that James Olsen and his concerns over scaring the people he's trying to save, which is essentially what his issue is in the first part of the episode. But when he talks about it, he's talking about it like it's because he doesn't get the accolades or the admiration of those he's trying to help, you know, which might be okay for people like Batman, who he makes a sort of a reference to, but not him. Okay, putting aside the fact that it sounds like he doesn't seem to really understand what it means to be a hero, hey, here's an idea. Don't wear a scary armored mask then. You know, your buddy Superman doesn't wear a mask, and apparently no one ever recognizes him, so just wear a freaking helmet then, you know, like the Guardian does in the comic books, instead of wearing this, you know, this creepy mask that freaks people out. You know, maybe they'd be scared just because, you know, he's like the only black guy running around National City. But anyway, I said it. I don't care. So that would have been my speed read moment of the week or 2 weeks or whatever the heck we're talking about now. I agree with you. I think I cared probably most about the Lena Rhea stuff, and only because I wanted to see where it was going. And at least it went somewhere. And now we see what the plan is, and like, okay, all right, aliens are coming. No, it's another invasion. But all I really care about now is, in the end, it's like, Cat Grant's coming back. Oh, thank God, the show needs Cat Grant.
It does.
So, but other than that, I was kind of like, this was kind of a meh episode for me, I would have to admit. So
it was. The one funny moment, was it when Mike and was going to go talk to Wynn. Wynn was whistling Super Friend.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, you caught. Oh, my God. You're totally right. All right, I have to give the episode a half grade more just for that.
I got such a kick out of it.
Oh, and did you recognize the kid was from This Is Us?
Yes.
So I'm staring at the kids like, I know that kid. Why would I know a kid, you know, that young? And I was like, why do I know? Like, oh, the early part of this is us. He's the young version of
Roland.
Look at you remembering the character's name after so many months. Look at you. You should podcast. Anyway. All right. I don't think that episode deserves any much more of our time. So let's just give it a grade now. So what would you be giving this one?
3.5.
I'm gonna give it a 3. I'm gonna be a bit meaner just because I feel like it. All right. So I knew we'd whoosh through Supergirl pretty quickly, especially because just the two of us anyway. So now we've had the last two episodes that are straight out of Star City, which means it's now time to talk about Arrow. Now, the last two episodes were titled Underneath and Honor Thy Fathers. And there was also one titled Deep Breathing. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, in the episode Underneath, after Adrian Chase set off an EMP, Ollie and Felicity are trapped in the Arrow Cave, encountering booby trap after booby trap as they try to escape and the team tries to get them free. Meanwhile, the flashback story... Oh, by the way, we all forgot to mention in a previous podcast that we got an episode that had no flashbacks whatsoever. Did Dan just show up? Anyway, we get a flashback in this episode, which is actually from 11 months ago, which is a night with Ollie and Felicity in that very same Arrow Cave, but under much different and much more, I guess, romantic circumstances. Oh, and at the end of the episode, we do see that Adrian has successfully tracked down Ollie's son, which is a little odd because, well, let's just get to the next episode, which was titled Honor Thy Fathers, which, in case anyone doesn't realize this, is actually a nod to the title of the second episode of Arrow Ever, which was titled Honor Thy Father. Nothing actually happens between the father-son relationship of Ollie and his kid, which kind of confused me considering how the previous episode ended, but maybe that's still lying in wait somewhere. I'm not really clear. Maybe we'll find out next week, I'm guessing. Instead, Chase has shipped a 15-year-old corpse to City Hall, and first there's an implication, and then actual video proof that Ollie's dad was responsible for the dude's death. Meanwhile, due to a serial killer being the DA, about 30-something violent criminals are sprung from prison, so Team Arrow also has to keep eyes on them, especially some nasty Samson fella, while Ollie's got his hands full trying to fight Prometheus. I never know if I should be calling him Prometheus or Adrian Chase, I get confused. Also, hey, guess what? Theo finally returns, and we get a further back flashback yet again, where we see Ollie and his Ruski buddy heading back to Lian Yu. So, let's start with the underneath, and the one nice thing about this episode is it's such a streamlined, very simple episode compared to many other Arrow episodes. I think we can just each talk about the episode as a whole instead of like chopping it up into different parts and sections and whatnot. So since you've had to be silent through most of the Supergirl segment, and I keep hearing you make noise anyway, Kate. What did you think of how they handled things on the underneath?
I liked the underneath episode. It's good to see they can still just write Oliver. It was an episode where Oliver and Felicity were actually written to some of their better standards they've had in the past, as opposed to how she's just been boring or terrible or he's been dark and brooding. It was actually good to see the interaction between those two. In the past, the flashback, seeing how like more Oliver and Felicity, the romantic couple, versus how they are now, where they're standing off against each other at times. But it was good to see those two work together and try to get themselves out of the situation and using each of their own little insights to how to do it. And while they failed, it was good to see that they were realizing they are better when they work together and not trying to do separate things or trying to do everything their own way. When they can agree and do something as a team between the two of them, that's generally when everything works best. And you saw that because when they finally started to work together, they did get to a situation where at least the team could help them better in a better situation than they were prior. So while I know it seems like this episode is trying to set them back up to where they might have a relationship again, I'm not holding my breath that they don't try to force that again. But it was good to see Oliver and Felicity interacting with each other and not trying to hide things and not arguing, but being like the two characters that I actually came to like when they were together in the past.
That makes sense. Vix?
I agree with what a lot of what he had. I agree with a lot of what he said. I thought it was super interesting just to see these discussions between Oliver and Felicity when they finally had it out about why he wouldn't back her joining the hackers and everything. And then obviously in the leading to him telling her what Chase made him quote unquote realize when he had him kidnapped. And then we also saw the discussion with John and Lila where he got super ticked off about them copying Curtis's tea spears, which I mean was totally valid, I think, because I feel like maybe they resolved that argument a little quicker than I had hoped. You know, I think it would have been good to maybe see that them stretch that out a little more, but it was good to see they were kind of able to agree that they both work in these morally gray areas.
Right. I'm actually happy they didn't drag it out more, because then I don't need week after week of married life strife between Diggle and Lila, who we don't see very often to begin with. So I don't want her function on the show to be, you know, just the upsetting element for John and vice versa. I mean, you already have him react in one episode and then fighting and then he's sleeping on the couch, whatever. Plus, once she pointed out, you know, there's a certain amount of hypocrisy with what he was saying, it's really hard, you know, to get around that. So I was fine with that. I actually had almost forgotten about that whole aspect of the episode until you brought it up. So, again, better memory than I have.
The thing I feel about that whole situation, it just seems like while everyone else seems to be starting to get along, they felt they had to have some strife on the good side, so they came up with that. That wasn't something that I think added or really even needed to be in the story as of this point.
I see. I mean, I thought a lot of this episode was about mending fences and resolving things of this nature. So moving forward, for at least for the rest of this season, we won't necessarily get bogged down in that stuff. The stuff with Ollie and Felicity, both the present day stuff as well as the flashback storyline, because obviously there's definite parallels there, because they also feed into one another. Also, what I liked about it was a lot of Felicity reminded me of why we used to like Felicity. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who've kind of grown weary of her, or maybe because her character has changed, or whatever the reason is. I've been on the fence with her. I've not loved her the way I liked her in the first couple seasons, but I thought she was more of a return to form for her in this episode. That said, do I think that a good portion of this episode feels like what they call fan service? That it's really kind of just, it felt that way. I don't think there's a way around it. Yeah, it does. Does that bother me? Not so much because at least but I still enjoyed the episode. I don't mind if that's part of it, if it makes sense. You know, if it's woven into the episode and, you know, it's kind of like a junior league diehard kind of a situation with all these ways to try to get out that he fails, you know, and all that stuff. I think I enjoyed the episode more than I expected to at the outset when I realized what the plot was going to be and I was going to be like, oh, I fear this episode because it's going to be talky, and I don't know if the writers are good enough to handle the dialogue that it would take to sustain this episode, which is something I noted in the next episode we'll be talking about and how they fall on really bad habits. But in this episode, I actually did enjoy it a lot. So yeah, I thought I was very much I really liked Underneath, actually, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, should we Should we grade them after we talk about each one? Or because let's just do it that way. Dan doesn't care. So let's do the grades for this episode now. So, Vicky, what did you think of underneath grade-wise?
I'll go to 4.
Interesting. I'm just kidding. Cade?
I'd actually give this one a 4.5.
4.5. Also very interesting. What did I give? So if I gave The Flash 4, and I gave this 4.5, that means I like it more. I don't like this more. I'm gonna give it a 4 also then. So, okay. So next episode, which was Honor Thy Fathers, like a lot more going on in that episode. So, and one of the things I didn't know going into it was that we were gonna be revisiting the character and stuff dealing with Robert Queen. So we got a few moments of seeing, albeit on video, Jamie Sheridan again on the show. So, kind of want to talk about that aspect of the show, that overall plot. And, you know, and since it's involving Robert Queen, then that's kind of why you bring back Thea. So we find, I don't know how long it's been since Thea's been on the show. It seems like it's been a couple months since we saw her. So wanted to get your guys' take on that. So who wants to go first? Vicky, would you like to go first for this one?
Sure. Yeah, no, I didn't know that they were kind of going to be focusing on Robert Queen either, but I really liked it. because we, again, you know, we get to see a different facet of Oliver and Dia's parents just from, because, you know, we've only seen, yeah, we saw a lot of the shady stuff that Moira did, but not necessarily so much for Robert. And yeah, technically he didn't outright kill this guy, but the fact that he covered it up was pretty much just as bad.
Yeah. I mean, he would still go to prison for what he did regardless of cover up. And, you know, it just wouldn't be, you know, like, I guess it wouldn't be like first degree. It would what would that be? Would it be manslaughter, maybe?
Manslaughter, yeah.
Looked like a manslaughter. Yeah, which isn't so great, although it's a great sounding word. Anyway. That's a good villain name, manslaughter. Anyway, sorry, I don't know what I'm talking. It's better than heatmonger. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry, Vicky. Come on.
So I thought, you know, because it brought up this good discussion between the two of them. They're not necessarily destined to be who their parents were. They can make their own paths. They can, you know, make different decisions. They can be better people than their parents were. They can learn from their mistakes and choose not to do those things. Yes, those things happened, but they don't need to hold on to them so tightly.
Right. Well said.
Oh. And I like that kind of brought about this conversation between Oliver and Felicity, that he should take up back up, you know, his Green Arrow mantle again.
Oh, because I was enjoying him walking around with the weird black mask on.
Just so dumb.
So and then I'm confused because so in an earlier episode, as mayor, he pretty much, you know, made Green Arrow like public enemy number one. And then in this episode, he pretty much, without really even making a reference to that, he's just thanking Green Arrow and his team. It's like, so I guess now it's, yeah, right, okay, whatever. I'll let it go, because I knew that was all bullshit anyway, so whatever. But the interesting thing is when you start talking, and you have Thea back, and yay, very glad to see her back on the show. Kind of sorry that she wouldn't suit up as Speedy again, I think. That has to happen at some point. You know, get over it, Thea. What else are you going to do on the show anyway? It's one of those things when you start, especially when she finds out that Robert did what he did, and you're like, wow, Thea, more so than Ollie, Thea's really screwed up when it comes to the parent department. Because, you know, you got the Moira and Robert thing, and then don't forget, you got the Malcolm Merlin thing. So she's screwed every which way she looks. So I kind of was feeling a little bad for her to a certain degree. So,
her reaction to it was very clear. Like, Oliver didn't want to believe it, and he just seemed to withdraw from it. She, though, it's like, Robert was the one person in her life, as far as parents goes, she looked at as like a beacon of light, something that wasn't completely horrible, like her mother she saw to be, and definitely who her real father is, because Merlin's one of the worst. And so seeing her have to realize that this happened, that is a bad thing. That's going to affect her probably more than Oliver, because she now has that person she thought was good, and there's a bit of doubt. There's a bit of darkness in him that wasn't there before for her. And that's why she was the way she was. It's like the one thing in her life that she was like, okay, this has some good in it, also has some evil in it. And it's good that it informs the two of them to when all the troubles they've had to realize, like, they weren't perfect people they came from. The people they came from, all of them are flawed. So it informs that they have to understand there will be moments where bad things happen, but it's not terrible for them. They can work around it. They can be better. Whereas the thing about this is Oliver realizing this is his father, but his father made this ultimate sacrifice at the end to kind of redeem some of the things he did to give Oliver a chance.
Right.
Whereas Adrian finds out that his father wanted to just disown him completely because his father thought he was a psychopath, like wanted nothing to do with him. And for some reason, I think that broke him a little. He's playing it more than he really feels.
Oh, yeah.
Because his character, what we've seen of him and how he responds, that really shouldn't affect him. So clearly, you could go in, you knew that he was playing a part to get what he needed. His next step in his plan had to have him submit himself to Oliver in that way,
right,
just to further along. And I liked how, I like how they've given us enough of him to that when he did it, you're not like, oh, he's just giving up. You're like, what does he have next? This is perfect, how it makes him feel, how he's portraying this. He's laying down the sword. Like, Oliver never questions this. He's such an ingrained in the lineage thing that Oliver sees that has brought him to where he is, that he doesn't even question that Adrian probably doesn't even have that. He uses his father's name and what happened to him to carry on this crusade, but really it's not about who his father was and what his father did and Oliver killing his father. There's something more to him than that, and I'm waiting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was one of those things when it happened, I was like, well, we know there's got to be more to this, because it's not the final episode, and that would be like the worst resolution to the storyline ever. So I was like, okay, so he's got a major plot going on while he's, you know, being, you know, after he's been arrested. And I was thinking, oh, well, we did see him with the son in the previous episode, so maybe he's somewhere, you know, because again, if not, then why show him encountering Ollie's son at this point? It just doesn't make any sense. Although, that was long enough ago that Ollie should have gotten a call from somebody about it, so I'm a little confused about it, so I guess we'll see. Unless he took both the son and the mom, but I don't think he did that, but who knows? I haven't looked ahead for anything. A lot of stuff going on, but I did kind of enjoy it for the most part. I'm still intrigued or curious of where they're going with some of this stuff, because we still got a couple episodes to go, and I don't know how they'll end it that'll be really satisfying, but I mean, I think they can. I think it's been a fairly strong, decent season. Certainly better than last season, that's for sure. Try to think of anything else that's really worthwhile here. Did anyone? I mean, I don't even feel like talking about it. So if you guys don't, I don't mind. Did anyone even care at all about the stuff with them fighting the Samson guy or any of that?
No,
I no. I was up to a point where I wasn't even following it. I was always thinking, okay, he's a guy who broke out or got released because of the DA thing and blah, blah, blah. That wasn't the wrestler guy, though, was it?
Was it the wrestler guy?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay. So that's basically they just wanted an excuse to get Stephen Amell's friend back on the show again.
And
who cares?
Yeah, pretty much.
But for me, because I so didn't care about it, It just ate up time in the episode where I would have preferred focusing on other things personally.
Yeah, I was kind of like, why would he work with Chase? How would they know each other?
Yeah, that didn't even make any sense to me. And I felt it unfortunate to a certain degree that they decided to stage a fight between Arrow, or Green Arrow, I should say, and Prometheus in the stairwell. Because I kept thinking, yeah, guys, unless you're going to go out and hire the people who work on shows like Daredevil and stuff, yeah, you guys just don't pull it off as well. It's just, it's not bad, but it's just, it's not the stuff people are going to be talking about the next day the way they do on some of those Netflix Marvel shows, like Luke Cage or Daredevil in particular. Yeah, it wasn't bad, it was just, but it wasn't great either. You know, it goes back to when they actually do pull off a really well or coolly choreographed thing, I'll agree with you guys about it. But when it's just kind of, like that one was, I was kind of just not excited by it. And I was hopeful when I saw it start. I was like, oh, maybe they're going to do some really cool shit here. And it never was.
I don't even remember it. And I watched it tonight.
Yeah, it's just...
Like, I knew they fought, but I don't remember any of, like, because it just was so...
Yeah, I mean,
the usual for them.
I mean, I'm not saying it's horrible. It's just, it's unmemorable. That's all.
Exactly.
You know, and I wish they could take the time to come up with better ones. Because we've seen them do it, a couple cool ones occasionally. But they're, for me, they're the exception, not the rule for this show. And I just wish they did they could come up with a better idea. And it might be as a matter of just, and there's nothing wrong with the stunt coordinators or whoever it is, but they need someone to come up with better ways to choreograph some of the fights on the show. Because for every really well-done one, there's about three or four boring ones. And if you're going to rely on that every single episode, I think you've got to come up with something better than what we get, quite frankly. Because otherwise, it just becomes monotonous. And there is always an awkwardness, especially when Green Arrow's fighting, because they always have to have a stupid freaking bow half the time, and it looks awkward with the quiver and everything. I never liked the thing of him like using the bow as a weapon in a fight, because I was like, what? That doesn't even make any sense to me. I would never use that as a weapon. I don't know if Green Arrow in the comics has ever done that. I don't know if any archer has ever done that. It just seems strange. But whatever.
Yeah, it's not a good weapon of choice. Well, one thing I think the fight scenes could use is try to think of a different way of shooting them. Give some different angles to it or something. Try to innovate not just how the fight, but where it's coming from, how it looks. It's just not the fight, but the shots you're taking with it. Because that can add a lot, too. That can be something different. Like one of the episodes earlier where they had the shot going through the glass, where you kind of went through the wall,
that was really
interesting compared to some of the shots, because the show that's shot, basically. They don't really do anything crazy with how they shoot a scene. And then they did that, and it's like, wow, that was really... We remember it. It stood out to us because it was different than what they usually do.
Yeah. They've made this mistake on the show on more than one occasion, if I'm not mistaken, where they think, hey, if we just like spin the camera around them while they're fighting, that's cool. It's not cool at all. It's nothing. You don't do it in an interesting way, and you're not going. It's not like some cinematic moment where you're going into like close-ups of someone's jaw being crunched or something, which would actually at least be different. Maybe they need to do some Steadicam kind of work, and I don't care if it would have been come off as a ripoff to some people, it still would have been fun to watch. Like, follow them down the stairwell. Like, let them fight from level to level. I don't care if they did that on Daredevil. Who cares? It's a stairwell. Something like that. You know, just something different. Like, smash them through a freaking wall, or I don't know, just something different. Or either that, or don't do the fight scenes at all, as far as I'm concerned. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to people, but it's like either do it well or don't do it at all, and come up with a different way for these characters who are relying on bows and swords more often than not anyway. And I, quite frankly, I've said it, I always say it, if I'm watching a show that's about Green Arrow, I want to see him using his arrows more than I want to see him using his fist, because that's what he does. Be like watching. If I'm going to see Robin Hood, I want to see Robin Hood shooting arrows at people. I don't want to see Robin Hood punching people. And the same applies to this guy. He can fight from time to time, but I think it should be more about using the arrows than it should be about him, you know, having these awkwardly staged fights.
And that's something underneath did. Oliver used his arrows in that episode. Not for really anything, but he actually shot his arrow and did some things with it. So it was nice that that episode is the one where they gave us him using the bow.
Oh, yeah. That's right, right. What else was in this episode? Oh, the flashback. I don't think they spent that much time on the flashback. It seemed to be just little peaks with him and
yeah.
Is it Alexei? Is that his name?
Alexei. Okay. Yeah.
Anatoly.
Yeah. All right. See, I knew it was some A name that
sounded Russian. You know.
But I guess at the very end, just when it looks like he's creating like a big bonfire, which I'm not sure if he was doing that to attract attention or, you know, be like his excuse for people finding him on the island, or he was just wanted to build a big fire. I'm not clear. That's probably what he was doing, I guess. I guess that's when Dolph Lundgren shows up and punches him. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you were saying he's going to show back up. So, and there he is.
You go.
You kind of had to wonder, because you remember how they find Oliver at the beginning of season one, and you're like, he's setting this up. And it's like, he looks really good here. Something's going to go wrong before he starts this fire. So it was nice to see that Kovar show back up again.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say, it was a nice touch that Anatoly gave him that, like, backpack. He's like, here so you can look like you've been here for 5 years.
it was a fairly brief flashback throughout the episode, so we didn't spend that much time with it, which is what I was fine with. Especially because there was so much else going on in the episode. I mean, we didn't even touch on the whole Renee not showing up for his kid's hearing thing. And why did he not show up? I mean, did he have
that was incredibly bizarre.
Did he have a sudden attack of I'm afraid to be a dad? Did he fall off the wagon somewhere? I'm not really sure what happened there. But
did anyone watch the preview for next week's episode of Arrow?
I don't think I did, actually, which is weird.
You would probably have gotten an answer in that.
All right. Because they've recast me, and they wanted to get a better act. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't hate him as much as I used to, honestly. The stuff with Paul Blackthorne, whose name I can't remember Lance? His character on the show. Lance. I don't mind those two together. They found someone who I don't find he's terrible when he plays off of.
I just feel that they still have issues of knowing what they're doing with these characters sometimes.
Oh, I'll agree to that, yeah.
And again, that just goes to when they try to broaden the show from being, this is about Oliver Queen and these two people who are going to help him in his mission to fight crime, save the city, whatever, which is like Diggle and Felicity. And once they moved to making it a more of a Team Arrow kind of a thing, which I wasn't opposed to, because I was like, oh, cool characters, whatever. Maybe. But unfortunately, they tend to feel like they're milling about and don't really have much to do, or they give them these, you know, off-camera stories that just feel like something the writer came up with. And I'm like, oh, I'm going on a date with my husband, or I'm getting a divorce, or I got this kid, or whatever the hell is going on. And Quentin Lance, I think once you knocked him out of the police department, it's kind of like a character in search of a purpose on the show. And I know he's working for the mayor and stuff, but you know, it just. He was a character I felt was more central to the action for at least the first 3 or even 4 years. And now it's like I don't think they know quite what to do with him. His interactions with Renee are good. So, they came up with a plot at least to get him on screen. But it feels like it's a short-lived idea. I don't know how much longer they can do that for. And so it's kind of like the problem that they have with Thea, who they essentially wrote out of the show. Now there could be other issues there. I mean, maybe they don't want to, you know, they can't afford to keep the actress on with all these other people on the show, so they knock down her number of episodes that she's on. Or maybe she just doesn't have anything to do, so they don't know what to do with her. I don't know. But it's one of those things. I really like the season more than the previous one, but I see it's still for me a show that has so much room for improvement. You know.
Agreed. Yeah.
And it's tricky because now they've got these other characters, because I would like to spend more time with, like, the new Black Canary. You know, she's an The actress seems like she... I want to know if... I haven't seen enough of her to know if the actress is good or not. She might be okay. She might be good. She hasn't really been given much to do. I mean, she's... She looks good as a crime fighter. The Sonic Cry thing seems to work, which they couldn't do when it was Laurel Lance. So, but... And she's a cop, so we had her involved in some stuff. But it's still... It's like all these characters just get like smidgens of time that never, so they always feel underdeveloped to me, and that I think is a big problem. It's like everything.
Or a character that people did like in Rory, because they can't use his powers because they can't afford it, they just write him off completely. Just goes away, just because they can't use Ragman for whatever reason.
Do you think there's any chance he'll show up in one of the last two episodes? Because I keep thinking he'll show back up.
I hope so. I really do.
I hope so.
He was one of the best parts of the season. Outside of just him being Ragman, his character wasn't... I liked his character. I liked the way he interacted with everybody. He was written with a personality that didn't grate on your nerves or wasn't overly one thing or the other. It was like, why did we get rid of that character? So yeah. I hope he does show back up.
Right. Or maybe he'll go on Legend. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, so we get even less Firestorm.
Oh, man. We get the storm, but no fire. Okay. I feel like we've kind of used up all the oxygen on an arrow. Should we move on to grading this one? Then we can wrap everything up?
Sure can.
Okay, Vicky. So... What was this one called? Oh, yeah, Honor Thy Fathers. What did you think of Honor Thy Fathers, grade-wise, this time?
4.5.
4.5. Cade?
4.
God, I didn't like it as much as... Ah, screw it, 4. Okay, I'll give it a 4. This is what happens when I don't write my grades ahead of time. I just try to come up with them... Because every time, it seems like half the time I change my grades after listening to you people, you know, either good or bad. So I figured, I'll go into this with an open mind. It's like going into the voting booth and not knowing who to vote for yet, which is probably what a lot of people did last year, apparently. So, all right, since we already covered our speed weed moments, those of us who had any to begin with, I guess we should move on right on to the wrapping it up section here. So, if you enjoyed this cobbled together, rather bizarre sounding podcast, which I hope will sound good in the post-production phase, you'll probably enjoy our Facebook page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast. Type that in, like the page, and join the conversation about shows like The Flash, like Arrow, and many others as well. You can also follow us... No, not follow us. You can find us on iTunes. Type in the Serious TV Drama Podcast and subscribe to our feed, as well as rate and review us there. One day we'll get another rating and review, but I don't know when that day will come. And finally, you can also follow us. That's where the word is correct. On the Twitter, our handle there is at STVD Podcast, as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. And since we are doing this podcast, that means you can also find us somewhere else. Vicky, where do you pimp our show out a little bit there?
PopCultHQ.com.
They must be so proud of how you promote them. I'm just kidding. She's like, I can't believe you said pimp. I'm just kidding. Anyway, okay, so on behalf of those who have left, I will say goodnight for Dan and Jason. Next week we'll be back. I assume some of us will have watched all three shows. Some of us will have watched.
I will have watched everything next week.
All right.
We'll be all caught up.
There you go. And so on and so forth. Maybe one or two of us might mention our opinions on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, because maybe at that point we'll have all seen it. I'll try to find time to watch it. I don't know. Or maybe the latest Wonder Woman trailer. Woo-hoo. Have you seen the latest Wonder Woman trailer, Vicky?
No, I have not.
Looks good.
I might just not see it and just wait until the movie comes out.
That might be a better move. So good idea. Oh, and also CW confirmed there's going to be there definitely will be a Black Lightning show. It's
awesome.
It's cool. Official. Yeah. So yay, because CW does such a good job. Anyway, but you know, so, I kid. I'm sure it'll be awesome. All right. So with that oddly meandering note, I will say goodnight to you guys and goodnight to everybody out there.
Good night.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
The monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whizzle, yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat. Beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The
Flash, the Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash, the Flash,
in a fight he'll smash. His real name works with the police. Justice is his aim. Wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it. When danger threatens, he'll switch in a minute. The Flash,
the Flash,
meet the mighty.